Join me in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. I know that this is the first Sunday of Advent, and we are moving into the Christmas season, as we have said here time and again. But I don't want to pass by Thanksgiving too quickly. Last week I asked the children here in the children's message what they were thankful for, and they gave me some things. And then I ask you, and each of you, many of you, shared some things that you were thankful for. And so, given some things Judy and I were going through this week, I've spent some time thinking of this myself. Things that I'm thankful for. Just a couple of things. First of all, some of you saw on Facebook, but my dad was able to receive a plaque for over 35 years of service to his church as a deacon and a trustee, and he also ran the sound. And that was blessing enough. But given my dad's Alzheimer's, he knew what was going on. And so I was thankful that all of us were able to be there. Also in this week, Judy's dad, who you know had been struggling with cancer over the last year or 2 years and had gone, and they thought it had returned. Well, the doctor's visit showed that he is cancer-free and doesn't have to take those horrible medicines any longer. So just two small things that Judy and I, myself, are thankful for. But that put me to thinking, what am I thankful for? And this is what brought me to this text. Because while I am thankful for that with my dad and Judy's dad and many, many other things, I want you to hear from my heart how thankful I am for you, for New Sterling. So this morning I bring you the text as Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, and of his thankfulness for them. Reading from the text, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. So, first of all, here Paul acknowledges that the church is established in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want us to look past this too quickly and see it only as Paul's typical salutation, his typical addressing that he uses in many of the letters that he writes. But let's dig into these few words. And as I said, I had you all in my mind as I went through this. Paul recognizes that this church in Thessalonica is a church in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is no small feat. This church is a very young church. Some think that this church may have only been a couple of months old in its established position as Paul is writing this letter to them. Yet this church is commended for it being established in God the Father, meaning in the truths of God the Father, and they acknowledge, Paul acknowledged that the church is acknowledging and realizing the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that this, in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the source of their being. Because you see, if a church, let me rephrase that, if a body of people is not grounded in the Word of God and accepting and acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not a church. And so for Paul here to say that I see you and I see that you're a church in God the Father and in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and again, no small feat, Paul says, I am thankful for this. And folks, this is the way I see you. This is the way I see you. The way I see us. We are a church that exists, founded and exists on the truths of Holy Text, which were given to the apostles through the power of the Holy Spirit as decreed by God the Father. And so I, like Paul, am thankful that you are a people, that we are a people who are not afraid to acknowledge God the Father and the truths of Holy Text. We accept the Holy Word as objective truth. Now, I probably don't need to say this to you too many times because you know this. Today, objective truth is almost extinct. For there to be objective, singular truth in our world today is is becoming more uncommon. Because it's accepted in many circles that you can have your truth, and you can have your truth, and you can have your truth based on your experience, and then I can have my truth that I experienced through my life. Well, folks, the logic there doesn't hold. Because if your truth is truth, and my truth is truth, then guess what? Neither of us have truth. And this is what's leading us to a very wayward and hypocritical world. But yet, by the power of the Holy Spirit and His grace and mercy, we are a group of people that accept objective truth. We accept God's Word as it is. And it is the truth. Also, Paul here mentions that the church is accepting, acknowledging Jesus Christ to be Lord. Now, we might say, well, yeah, of course. No, this is no small thing. We spoke about this last week in my Sunday school class, that many will accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Accepting Him as Christ, as Savior, is one thing. Because, see, as Savior, He is there when I need Him. He is there to rescue me. He is there to help me. But other times, He's over there. I'll call on you when I need you. If you see Him as Savior only. But when you say you see Him as Lord, that consumes the Savior idea. But it is much, much larger in that He is Lord, which means He is the ruler, which means we owe everything to Him. All of our honor, all of our praise, all of our glory, all of our submission is to Him as Lord. That means He's not only there when I need Him. He's there always. He's there always. And I pray we live our lives in submission to that. I'm thankful that while we may not live every minute of every day under that lordship, we do openly acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. And in our world today, that's a big deal. And I hope we all know that. Paul commends the Thessalonians here for that, and I do you as well. Secondly, here again, we see another piece of Paul's typical greeting of blessing. He says, "Grace to you and peace." Now, I, like Paul, could desire no greater blessing for you, New Sterling, than this word, peace. For God's peace to transcend all that we do. All that we do all the time. Now, please know this. Peace is not just the absence of conflict. You can have conflict in a peaceful setting. Conflict simply means there's a disagreement. And have we had disagreements? Yes. But is there also a peace? Yes. Because you see, peace is more an inclusive term that means a fullness of health, a fullness of harmony, a fullness of assurance of who we are and to whom we belong, which is the overriding principle that guides everything we do. Yes, we can have disagreements. Yes, we can have an opposite opinion of things. But does that mean the peace is gone? No. It drives us to resolve it biblically. And folks, that's where we are at New Sterling. This word peace is almost a one-word summary of the entire gospel message, because you cannot have peace, true peace, until you find it in the salvation of Jesus Christ. All these other so-called peace is just that, so-called. It's not true. But truth and peace comes through Jesus Christ. We pray for the peace of Israel. What are you really praying for? There to be no more wars? I don't think that's going to happen until Christ returns. But when we pray for peace of Israel, we should be praying for their salvation. Pray for their salvation just as you would any other individual. And as I said, this is one of the great characteristics of New Sterling today, and one of the things I am so incredibly thankful for. I have from time to time, as Craig has and David has and Jeff and Tony and other meetings of Presbyterian, things of that sort, I have opportunity to meet with other pastors, and many of them are telling me of the strife and the struggles and the things that are going on, and I'm just kind of sitting there. And they'll say, well, how are things going on at New Sterling? And in that dynamic, I'm almost embarrassed. Not really. I said, we're great. I just try to stay out of the way, because we have such a peacefulness here. And again, that doesn't mean we don't have our issues and we don't have our conflicts and we don't have our little things. We do that and then we move on. But folks, there is a peace that just transcends. And you should be incredibly thankful for that. I am. And that is no small thing in a church. Secondly, Paul says grace. Grace to you. This is the only way we can be what we are. This is the only way we can be a church. And it is through God's grace. God's grace and His favor shining upon us and making us a part of the body of Christ is how we are what we are. We live and breathe and have our being. Please understand the fullness of that. The next breath you draw is God's grace. The next opportunity you have to share or to receive is God's grace. The next opportunity, fill in the blank, it is God's grace that we have. This place that's been here 229 plus years. Think about that. Thousands of churches close every month. Hundreds of pastors step away from the pulpit every month. And we are not planting that many churches to replace them. But yet New Sterling has this history. Why? Well, this is a good community. These are good people. This is just who we are. Well, there's a part of that. But where does it start? The grace. Grace. So when Paul says to the Thessalonian church, grace and peace to you, I want to echo the same words loudly. Grace and continued peace for us here in this congregation. Now to the real reason I came to this passage, verse 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul here mentions the Thessalonians constantly in prayer. We do that. I will confess, we are not corporately the praying church I would like for us to be. We've started a Wednesday night Bible study, but I believe that now has gone by the wayside. I'm sad at that. And I pray we're different. But I don't take that as us not being a praying church. Because I know many of you, if not all of you, but I know many of you are those prayer warriors that are fervently and constantly in prayer. This church could not survive without that holding us together. I'm thankful. But there's one specific area here I'd like to highlight in this idea of prayer. As I said, I commend all of you and I thank all of you for your prayers. Your prayers for me, the ministries of this church, the people when they're sick, they're hurting, the loved ones who are in need, etc., etc. Those are all necessary. But there's one group I want to hold out here just a bit. And that's our elders. Every session meeting, we have a season of prayer. But each month, an elder will come and stand in this pulpit and pray for you. If you look at our form of government, that is their first responsibility, to be men of prayer. And so here, they come and do that. I'm overwhelmed with it. I'm thankful for it. Because A, they come and do that here. But then also secondly, because of the impact it's had on you. I see your prayer life different because of the men standing in this pulpit. It's a significant part of our church. And you might think, well, he's just standing there praying. Okay, you come up here. Come on. But the fact of what's going on here, where men who, this is not their profession, this is not their calling to be here, but they pray. And you see them. This has had a great impact and a great benefit to a church, and I love it, and I'm so thankful. Thank you, men. Thank you, men. Verse 3. Paul commends the church in Thessalonica for three things. And this is very Pauline, if you will. Faith, hope, and love. He said, remembering your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope. John Calvin defines this triad, faith, hope, and love, as a brief definition of true Christianity. Paul speaks extensively of it in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. We all know that as the love chapter. And he closes that out and he said, calling the greatest, he says, faith, hope, and love, but all of these, the greatest is love. Faith, hope, and love. They are a part of the Christian life. They are to be revealed. Faith is that thing we've been gifted with, and it is to be given out toward God. Hope, as we were talking about here with lighting of the Advent candle. Our hope is not a blind hope. It's not a, well, I think and I maybe. No, it's an assured, confident hope in the second coming and eternal life and future. And then we are taught to love. And folks, every person in this room who calls himself, is identified as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have these three things. Differing degrees and measures, but everyone in this room has these three things. Faith, hope, and love. If you're a believer, you're gifted with faith. And that faith should create a hope in you by default. And then because of that faith, and because of that hope, and because of the work of the Holy Spirit in you, you should be one that loves. I will go so far as to say it should come easy for us. Nah. That indwelling sin is still there. Faith, hope, and love. Folks, this is what I see in you. And here is where I guess I would say I'm most thankful and almost overwhelmed to a degree that God has allowed me to be in this pulpit for almost 15 years. But to see you grow in faith, And that goes back to one of the first things I've said here, that we are people who desire objective truth, and we like to be taught the truth. And when you're taught the truth of God, then your faith by default has to grow if you are one iota obedient. And I could go down the pews, I could go through every seat that's being used here this morning and tell you stories of where I've seen you grow in your faith. And as a pastor, what more could you ask for? Hope. Hope. Hope endures and is steadfast in all things. And I've seen you exhibit a great hope during the most difficult times. The loss of loved ones, disappointments in your family, the loss of jobs, physical illnesses, just the mental stress of life, marital issues. And yes, we may wane. And we may ebb, but I always see and hear of a constancy of hope. Yeah, today's tough, but I know Jesus Christ, and I know God's in charge, and I know He controls all of this. And while I may not have the answers, I know and my faith is in Him. Folks, that gives such a testimony to everyone around you. When you watch the Elliott family here 2 weeks ago, and you watch the Wall family here last week, and you watch others of you who have gone through times, and yes, the tears and the heartache and the loss and all, it's almost overwhelming, but then you hear the words. You hear the language of faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ. Folks, that affects people. And I'm overwhelmed many times. And then finally, Paul here commends the church of love. And there is love. And he says a labor of love. Now see, here's the key. Love is a labor. Love is something that is done. Love labors. Love is to be revealed. It is to be given away. I saw a commercial this week, and I don't like to quote many commercials here, but the gentleman, a couple of folks said, love is the only thing, when given away, grows. I thought, well, yeah. Because if you do not give away love, do you truly have it? It's one thing to say, I love you. But if there's no action, if there's not something seen, if there's not some gesture, then maybe you just like to say the word and you want me to feel good, warm, and fuzzy about you, which I probably won't, nor you me. But folks, here is where, and again, y'all, you guys won't be able to get out the door when I finish all this. Big head swelling up with all this eating, all this stuff. Don't worry, I'm going to bring you back to earth in a minute. But you are a loving people. You are a loving people. We have many folks who come through that door visiting with us, and the comments to me are, that is such a warm, loving people. A lady came up to me after Lonnie's service, and she and I had a conversation. She said, these people are just awesome. I said, yeah, you should come join us. And there are many stories I can tell you and relate to you, but I'll give you just one. And it's the one I've said so many times. I am incredibly thankful that God brought me and Judy here to New Sterling before He took Marley. He could have done that anywhere at any time, but He brought me here first. and the love and the care that y'all gave. I've told everybody, I am so thankful that God brought us here before He took Marley. Because you have loved us. You were patient with me. You do this over and over. And to say I'm thankful falls so very short. And you've done this time and again. My heart has grown so attached to you that I refer to you as my family. My folks back in Seneca, they'll say, well, when are you going to move back home? Well, I am home. I'm here. I can understand why it's so hard for Dr. Earl and Miss Harriet to go anywhere else. This is home. This is family. You're always on my mind. If I'm not here one Sunday, I'm looking at my watch going, okay, it's 10 o'clock. I know where they are right now. It's 10:15. I know where they are right now. It's 11 o'clock. They're starting worship right now. You're the ones I'm concerned about. As I've said, I'd love to watch you grow and succeed and overcome. You're my heart in many, many ways. And I know I probably show it differently than other individuals. But you are. And I'm totally overwhelmed that God allows me to stand here and do this. Because y'all are deserving of so, so much more. But as Paul says here to the church in Thessalonica, we give thanks to God for you. I give thanks to God for you. Let us pray together. Father, I do thank you for the family, the people of New Sterling. I thank you that you have blessed us with your peace. You have blessed us with your grace. You have blessed us with your love. Allow us to continue growing. And Lord, yes, we are commended by a lot of things, but let us remember we are still indwelled by that old sinful nature, and we need your grace and assurance daily. If we think we have arrived in the Christian faith, then we are sadly and sorely mistaken. We have much growth yet before us. So Lord, help us in all these things. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.